You know, I had a good week this week. You know, sometimes you have some of those pressured weeks, but this week, and I don't know if you would just call it because of obedience, because you know when you're in disobedience, the reward ain't too nice. But when you are in obedience, you just know that you know. And this week was incredible. When I got off the boat today, I just paused and I thought, from Friday to today, and I'm like, you know, Friday afternoon for Shabbat, it's commanded to do this, but I want to be here because I want to be with Him. That's what I want to be. I love being where He is. And all this week, starting with Friday, I had no idea what the Father had for Scott. We had some little change in the plans there. Brother Rob was going through a little illness. And when he came here with, you know, the male and the female donkey and the roles that they play. It was really something that the Father knows. Every person, what they need at the proper place, the proper time. And I had my anniversary, my 32nd anniversary to celebrate. And me and my wife, you know, I talked about it a little bit on Wednesday. And I didn't know if I was going to talk about it tonight, but I can't help it because it's part of that whole week. You know, the male and the female donkey have vital roles that they play. And her and I, and you know, when we're going through our anniversary and we're spending time together, and I'm just really thankful in my marriage because she plays a vital role that I really need. Without her, I can't, like that female donkey, sense danger ahead. She can sense that thing. The male donkey does a certain thing and the female donkey does a certain thing. And that really, really, not only that, also Shabbat, when we talked about, you know, the garments and the wagons and the food, how those things played a vital role. Talking about if, you know, just one man's decision, you know, if Joseph didn't make that decision to put on those garments, that one decision or those decisions could have wiped out everything else that was playing in the process. From Yaakov, all the rest of his brothers, none of that stuff would have ever happened. Those things wouldn't have happened. And I think back when we first came to Faith Temple Ministries, and I had to turn around from the way I was going. I had the teshuva. I had to turn from the way I was going, and I had to do like a Ruth. I had to do like a Rahab. I had to let those garments go and put on these garments. And during that whole, even this week, getting back to not knowing where the fish was going to be, just trusting in Him and how it was going to go. And I knew it was my week working up to Friday. And I had these guys that didn't know what they was going to want to catch. And they took it easy on me not having to go snapper fishing. But there was several days of fishing there. I didn't know how it was going to go. And it was like I come home and my wife's like, wow, I'm glad I did supper early. You ain't never home for 3 o'clock. And then the next day, wow, again, you're never home for 4 o'clock. And then the next day, same thing again. I'm like, it was really a relief to get in a little early, to not be just scrambling at the last minute. And then your thoughts go like, okay, Friday's coming. I got some other people. I don't know how it's going to go. And I'm like, Father, you know. But you know, still, nevertheless, not my desire. If you want the pressure on me, that's fine. That's okay. But I really enjoyed all this week and spending that time. And you know, when you go through this, you start on the Friday, and you go through the whole week and the weeks prior. And it's not just notes to put in your stuff and put aside and let's go on and find out what else is new. You got to take these notes, and you got to put these garments on, and you go, when you're going through your week, and things come up to where you got to make a decision, a good one or a bad one, you learn from those. And when you start making the right ones, and you keep reading and studying and spending that time with Him. I was telling some customers the other day, they were asking me, when they walked on the boat, it had been 2 years since I seen him, and the first thing the guy says is, Boca Tov. And I'm like, you remember that? You talked to me a little bit about Hebrew? I'm like, man, that's pretty amazing that guy 2 years ago remembered that. You know, but spending that time, like I was telling him, I was explaining to him, because he asked me, he says, hey, them things on your side, I didn't get to ask you last time. But what is those little beads on your side? I said, oh, these. And I pulled my overalls down, my slicker suit down. I said, these? He said, yeah, what is that? And so I explained to him what it is. I was able to share with him. And I said, you know, you got to really go and spend some time. And when you spend your time reading about all these things that God did with these people for us today, just like a man and a woman, when they first get together, before they get married, they get to know each other. You get to know him. And when you really apply this, like I've been applying it in obedience, is this love of God that you don't see when you until you do that. You have to really apply it. You have to go do it yourself. And I just saw a lot of his kindness this week. And I even said when I got off the boat, I said, tonight, when I get to church, I just want to pause and with everybody. And just I want to stop for a minute and just pray to him, appreciate him for his loving kindness to us. Because what I'm seeing, he's working for a long time, and he's been having a provision for so many people. I mean, when you just think about Rahab, and then Boaz, and then you think about Ruth, and then you think all the way down the lineage from Jesse to David, and all the way to Yeshua, who took this for us. This is us. This is where we're going, and gives us a chance to be here and takes that place for us. Yehovah has been working. And working and working, the more you obedient, you understand his kindness. And then you're reading in here in the book of Jasher. I might be able to get to that tonight, but you see through the disobedience, and you see through the obedience his loving kindness and how he stretched himself for Israel so many times. And many times you see in the prophets, Yaakov. Then you see Israel. Yaakov, Israel. Come on, you got to get what I'm trying to tell you here. And so I just want to pause for a moment and appreciate him. Father, throughout all the ages, you've been so faithful to all our forefathers. You're faithful to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. You are faithful to all those generations. One person's decision to listen to you, Father, affected so many generations, even our families, to today. Who stayed it out in church, and whether they knew the right or the wrongs of the scriptures, still we're here today, and I want to appreciate you and thank you for your loving kindness. And we know Friday evening is a command, but we really want to be here. I want to be here personally because you're here. I want to be with you. I love being with you. It was a great Friday evening all the way to my anniversary days. And you told me and you told all of us time and time again, if we just obey your commandments, we'd find out how great a love you have for us. And you said to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, all our being, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we want to love our neighbor and ask you to forgive us, Father, if we've been in any mode of just trying to make things work or make things happen our way, Father. We just want to trust in you. And believe in you that you got it all planned out, and we want to rely on you through this all, Father. We want to keep our garments on, for our garments are like a retardant against fire. Any elements of the wicked, any elements of the wrong, we just thank you so much for this garment that Yeshua paid a price for us to have. Thank you, Yeshua. We thank you, Ruach, for leading us and guiding us when we was going to make bad decisions. You stopped us, and I just thank you so much, even for tonight. Words to be spoken be by you and not me. I just love you and thank you for everything that you're doing. All those that are out there, Father, we're not going to worry. We're just going to place it all in your hands. You're the God of all creation. You're the Almighty Yah, and you can do whatever you please, whenever you please, and however you please. We just got to stay focused on each day and listen to you, and we love you so much and praise you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. And so one man's decision, and then Yehovah gives Yosef this provision that was going to ultimately save Yaakov and his brothers, his father and his brothers. And so we have a miracle working God. And the last we talked about in chapter 45, Yaakov was in a bind. He's got Benjamin over there. That's the last one he has from Rachel. That's the last one that he has. He's pressured with all of his responsibilities. He's got so much responsibility. And I'm thinking about, you know, Rahab. I read about Rahab last week. I went in there and I was looking through it and I had questions. And I didn't know why I was reading it then, but then on Shabbat it's brought up and I had my questions answered. Pastor didn't know anything about me reading Rahab, but the father knew. And Rahab, when you read about it, she wasn't just concerned about herself. She was concerned about her family. And she already knew what was coming. They were all going to die. Israel was coming to kill them with the God that they serve. And she knew it. But she said, please don't forget my father, my mother, my family, just my family. This is my family. So she's in a spot. And God's a miracle working God. It was because of her decision. And then they had an oath that had to be made. They said, this is the oath. You stay in the house. Nobody step outside. And we will save your family. But if you step out, there's nothing I can do for you. And it's the same thing. If you don't listen. And then we get to this part in 45 where Yosef says, hurry, hurry, hurry. Hurry, go get my father. And that's where I want to start right here in Genesis 45:9. One man's decision can either destroy families and generations or save generations from death. Because that's what Rahab was going. Her family was going to die. Death. Not just get injured or maybe survive. They were going to be annihilated and wiped out, just like the Amorites, just like the Perizzites, just like all the rest of them that they saw happen. And the Egyptians that got swallowed up in the Sea of Reeds. Because she talked about that. In Genesis 45:9 says, hurry, hurry, mahor, hurry, and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son, Yosef, Elohim has made me master of all Yishrim. Come down to me and do not delay. So Yosef is in a position now. He's got his garments on. He's been obedient. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. Now all of a sudden he's in a position now that he can save his family and teach them to go through what he had to go through. He had to put on the garments. Now they had to submit to it. And we proved all that with Judah, with Yehuda, and all of them have to make those decisions. All that money was on Benjamin. He's got all that money on him, and they could do whatever they want, just like they did with Yosef at that time. And it showed the big change. They didn't do that. They went along with the plan. Whose plan is this? This is Yehovah's plan. This is his provision and plan that he had all along. He's the one that has all this plan all along. And to save them when the elements would come. And it also talks about go down. We talked about Yarad. Yehovah has done all this. We talk about Yarad as a place where you've been down on the carpet and you meet with Yah in the tent. He said, do not delay, hurry, mahar. And the first time, Abraham, when Yah shows up, Abraham has experience with Yehovah. And when he shows up, he says, hurry. And that's in, the first time it's in Bereshit, chapter 18, 2 through 7. This mahar, a hurry. And the reason why he says hurry is because he has some knowledge. He came out of being an Armenian from paganism, and he's been spending a lot of time. He knows what it is to spend time with the Father. So he lifted his eyes and looked and saw three men standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, Yehovah, if I have now found favor in your eyes, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And let me bring a piece of bread and refresh your hearts. And then go on. But this is why you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. So Abraham ran into the tent to Sarah and said, hurry, mahar, hurry. Make ready the three measures of fine flour. Knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and hurried to prepare it. Then we got another important hurry, mahor. And that's with Lot in Bereshit 19, 22 through 24. And I was reading this one again this morning, and it kind of brought me back to this word escape. I'll get to that in a minute. So it says in 19:22-24, it says, Mahor, hurry, escape. Escape there, for I am not able to do any deed until you arrive there. So the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar, and Yehovah rained sulfur and fire on Sodom and Amorah from Yehovah out of the heavens. And if you think about it, this right here is again the Father's loving kindness, His chesed, because this really wasn't supposed to happen. We had somebody stand in Lot's place. Lot made those decisions to go where he went, and he was in a bind. And because of Abraham prayed to Yehovah, and he heard his prayers, and he stretched out himself some more. How many times do we read in the scriptures, how many times Yehovah stretches himself out? Even to this point right here, you got another chance here. Hurry, 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 Lot, hurry. Escape. He stretches out his mercy and his grace because of Abraham. Now, that word escape popped up in my head a couple times when I was reading through this, and I shared this on Wednesday, but I'm going to share it again because I learned something. Me and my wife, we planned on going on a little couple days just to go spend some time together, eat. But we didn't have any games or any fun things in mind. But I was here in church on Shabbat and was getting ready for Shabbat that morning, I think it was. Or maybe Friday evening. I can't remember what time it was. But I remember going to New Orleans playing that escape room game. And I was like, oh, that might be something fun here and I could do because we got to put our heads together to do this. So I started looking it up and I found one where we went to Ocean Springs. And so I planned it. And you're like, okay. She was like, okay, let's go ahead and do that. But how many knows you got to listen to the Ruach? It was something very important and vital for me to understand some things and for her as well. Because we picked, there were certain games that you could pick. And a certain game we picked was a psychiatric ward. There was a lady that was in a psychiatric ward and she escaped. And you had to go through all these doors to get there. And my point I'm getting at, when we got there, the guy tells us if you have any troubles when you're in there, if you can't get an answer, just question me and I'll give you a hint. I'll help you. And there's a screen up there, a big screen. And it gives you your time. You have 1 hour. So we get in the room and there's drawers with locks on them and there's only one or two little placards up there and it gives you some clues about different things with numbers in there. So you already know those numbers mean there's a combination with some numbers on it. You got to get a lock unlocked. And so we started working on those. And we started working on things. And we had these little placards with, it had different things on there for the numbers and letters. Make a long story short, I couldn't see some things my wife saw. And she couldn't see some things I saw. And we worked together on these things. And we got to a spot where we got stuck. Because I kept putting the numbers in and it wouldn't open. And I knew I had the numbers right. And so I was like, okay, I'm stuck here. And when you look on the screen, it goes, she's got the right answer. She knows what she's talking about or something like that. And so I was like, okay, so I'm listening. So she's sharing with me and we got in. And so when I thought about it, I'm like, you know, there's times you're working together as a team. You got the food. You got the wagons. You have provision. There's Rahabs out there. There's Ruths out there. There's different ones out there that's going to have questions. You're going to need the answers. And there's some times during the week that you might be going through something and you might get stuck a little bit, but the Ruach's there to help you along. He helps you along in every situation and even when you're apart. And so it's amazing how we learn through that little process. And we got to spend a couple of days together. We laughed. I never got to spend that much time with my wife, and I shared this Wednesday, and some of you wasn't able to hear it, and I'm going to share it tonight, because this ministered to me in a way that it really brought me to reality of what my wife really is for me, and what she thinks about me. And so I was going on a boat the next morning to go fishing, my first day back. And she sends me this little prayer. Let me see if I've still got it. Oh, I thought I still had it. You still got it? Oh, I never went far enough up. I found it. She says, "Hey, my other half, I thank God every day for giving me you. Through the highs and the lows, the laughter and the tears, you've been my answered prayer." And I stopped for a minute. I'm like, "You've been my answered prayer." I'm like, she thinks that of me? I'm her answered prayer? I was like, oh my. So every time I thought an enemy tried to pull me one way or make it look like the grass is green on that side or something else was more, or to make this bad decision that would have crushed and shattered that person that really, really looks up to and says, "You my answered prayer." And I thought way, way back, she said, all I ever wanted was to have a family. So she really meant that when she said that. It's not like I'm just a husband, I'm just the better guy. You're my answered prayer. So that made me think, I'm like, I gotta really make sure I got my act together and everything, because she's looking up to me. I got a big responsibility. And then we get back to Yaakov, he's got a big responsibility here. He's got all these family generations that if he don't get a miracle, everybody's going to die. And then when they show up and say, the first thing he said, that's why, the wagons. We need transportation. It's not just me and my survival mode. We got to get out of the survival mode. We stay in the survival mode, there is no loving your neighbor as yourself. It's always trying to love God or learn to love God or find out who He is. There's never going to be a help for a Ruth or a help for a Rahab. And Yaakov, when he was in a bind. He's like, oh, it's a miracle. The Father had it all along. And so in the rest of this, she says, "You're not perfect, neither am I. Yet somehow, by grace, we've made it this far together. And I believe with God at the center, the best is still ahead." And I believe that. We got a journey. And I sent her that on the next message I told her. I said, "Hey, He's given us everything He's provided for us to make it through this day on this journey. Let's take advantage of that and do that today. Whoever it may be to meet, wherever we must go that day, or to keep our garments on and not listen to the whispers of the Nahash." If the Nahash can whisper you, and that's the only way he can get you, it's the only way he can get you, and we've read about that over and over. If he can whisper you to grow across the boundary, you can't cross the boundary. You can't cross the boundary. Because once you cross the boundary, then your garment comes off. Once your garment comes off, you can't hear the voice. That's why he talks about wisdom as a she. And that female donkey is referring as like the wife. She can sense the dangers. Just like we talked about Balaam. Balaam was on the donkey, and she's pulling him against his leg, against the wall, saying, "Hey, don't you see, if we go that way, we die? There's a messenger of Yehovah. There's an angel sitting here with a sword drawn. I'm trying to help you." But if that's not there, guess what? You walk right into danger and harm's way. All lies, all deceit, all deception. You don't even think of Yah as being a loving kindness anymore. All you focus on now is what I got to do, me, back over here again. Stuck and trapped in the knowledge of good and evil again. I'm so glad he's kept these props here. They're so helpful. She says, "And I believe with God at the center," and truly, he's at the center of the two trees. We've read that. And over here, we read about that. Who was on the right side? Hasatan. Remember we talked about that? You don't see that until you look at it long enough and hard enough, or someone like our pastor brings it up to us, you're like, oh, it is there. He's at your right hand right there when you're facing the tree of life. But it says, and I believe with God at the center, the best is still ahead. So here's my prayer. May God continue to strengthen you, protect you, and remind you how deeply you are loved. I'm proud of you. I believe in you. And I always pray for you. And so that's put a surge in me that I'm constantly now when I'm getting up in the morning, I'm out on the boat, I'm thinking about her. I'm like, I'm trying to protect her like a little chick. You know, this is my little chick. I got her. Father, I thank you for her well-being because she's my help. She's going to sense the danger. And now how more important it is now when she says, I wouldn't make that post if I was you. You're right. There's danger ahead. You're going to have more turmoil on you than you can handle. But it feels good. I'm going to let them know. That donkey's, hey, I don't want to go that way. I wouldn't do that if I was you. So it's been real helpful what Brother Scott listened to. At the last minute, he gets it from Yehovah. It's like Yehovah just inputted it. Boom. But you had to be available. You have to be available to get those things. So with escape in mind, we made it out in 30. We had 37 seconds left out of that hour. We made it through. And then I thought about we get out of this survival mode and put on the garments, and we have the answers, the wagons for the people, a way of escape. We talk to people every day. Rather, me and Brother Scott was talking, rather just sowing a seed, and then maybe 2 years along the line, these guys walk back on the boat and ask me some questions. You have the wagons. You got to have their way of escape. What are we helping them escape from? What we escape from? Death. We're going to die. We're going to die. But now we're out of survival mode. Now we have all this information, and the Father can use us mightily to help somebody escape death. We got to help them escape death. And that was so funny, that mannequin. We was trying to put a straitjacket on. I never put a straitjacket on anything before. I'm like, I don't know how to put a straitjacket on. And I'm sitting there trying to put it on, and all of a sudden the mannequin's arm falls off. I'm like, we got a dilemma. We got to put this back on. And then I put the face mask on her. And when I did that, the door opened up. And we got the finish right there, and we had 37 seconds left. And look, right here, Yosef, he's saying, hurry, go get my father. This is the time. And telling Lord, hurry, go. I can only hold it off so much longer. Hurry. You got one shot at this, and there's no time for delay. We got one shot at this. Remember, who's Yosef listening to? He's listening to the Father. In Genesis 45:10, and you shall dwell in the land of Goshen and be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. And I shall provide for you there, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, because 5 years of scarcity of food are still yet to come. It's not going to get any better. And even for us, this is a model. It's not going to get any better. Jacob is old. He has a lot of pressure. He's responsible, like we talked about. And again, possessions, just like for the rich, they're not going to help. Possessions won't help us. The monies won't help us. We need a way of escape. And the instructions is the way of the escape. He said you got to put your garments on. You got to keep them white. What's going to keep us from the elements of fear and all the craziness and the swaying? And even today now, as far as we've gotten, I can't imagine how deceptive it would be for me if I didn't know what we know these past 7 years. I'd probably be lost just like all the others in the twisted lies of the scripture. I look at it now, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. He's given us a fire retardant but if you're on that side, guess what? You're not going to make it. There was provision that Yehovah gives in Devarim chapter 7 to keep them from the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Gergesites and all of those. He says, if you don't keep and guard my commands, you're going to follow after their other gods and you're going to lose out. The only way you stay is you follow and obey my commands. And you, if you don't, you're going to end up serving their mighty ones. And you're going to lose. And so they were good all the way, and they come to the Moabites. They come to the Moabites. And if you read in the book of Jasher, let me go there for a minute. I was going there anyway. In the book of Jasher, here it is. The book of Jasher gives us more detail about these Moabites and the way the Nahash whispers them over to a place they shouldn't have went. Because the Moabites knew we're fixing to be annihilated. We got to come up with a plan. And the only way that they could come up with a plan is to get them to break the commands. They had to break the commands to be offside. That's what Jehovah says. If you read Devarim chapter 7, I might read it in a minute. But let's go to Jasher chapter 85. There's some great detail here. What the Nahash and what goes on with the Moabites to pull them offside. There's a little bit more detail here. Because you've got to remember, who was Lot's children? The Moabites. And their lineage to come is the Moabites. That's where they came from. So now they're going to use this right here. And the children of Israel approached Moab, and the children of Moab pitched their tents opposite to the camp of the children of Israel. And the children of Moab were afraid of the children of Israel. And the children of Moab took all their daughters and their wives of beautiful aspect and comely appearance, and dressed them in gold and silver and costly garments. You see where this is going? The Nahash ain't no joke. He's going to find a way. If you cross the line, you can't cross the boundary, and you can't take your garment off. And the children of Moab seated those women at the door of their tents in order that the children of Israel might see them and turn to them and not fight against Moab. And all the children of Moab did this thing to the children of Israel. And every man placed his wife, not only a woman, but his wife, that would be adultery, wouldn't it? His wife and his children. It says, every man placed his wife and daughter at the door of his tent. And all the children of Israel saw the act of the children of Moab. And the children of Israel turned to the daughters of Moab and coveted them. See? Put them outside. And watch what's going to happen. Coveted them. They saw it with their eyes first. It was a command. Don't covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's belongings, nor of the other ones that serve the other mighty ones. For I am a jealous El. It says, and they went to them, and came to pass that when a Hebrew came to the door of the tent of Moab and saw a daughter of Moab and desired her in his heart and spoke with her at the door of the tent that which he desired, while they were speaking together, the men of the tent would come out and speak to the Hebrew like unto these words. Surely you know that we are brothers. We are all the descendants of Lot and descendants of Abraham, his brother. We're all together in this. We're brothers. We're related. We come from Lot. We come from his daughters. We're brothers. Wherefore then will you not remain with us? And wherefore will you not eat our bread and our sacrifice? And when the children of Moab had thus overwhelmed him with their speeches and enticed him by their flattering words, they seated him in the tent and cooked sacrifice for him, and he ate of their sacrifice and of their bread. Then they gave him wine, and he drank and became intoxicated. Then they placed before him a beautiful damsel, and he did with her as he liked, for he knew not what he was doing. Now your garments is off, you cross the line, now you're intoxicated. This tree is back all over you again. Ooh, we having fun, it's all good, it's going to be all right. We got Lot's families, lineage, we're brothers, we could do this. And yet, the one that created them, the one that shielded them, all their families, through the sea of reeds, everything, he loved them and provided for them. everything you've done for them, all of a sudden he's out the picture and he's serving guys that aren't even gods, but they're the ones that they serve and they're the ones that sacrifice their children to and do dirty, disgusting things to. That's what they're stepping into. But they're intoxicated. We're having a good time now. It's feeling good. Thus did the children of Moab to Israel in that place in the plain of Shittim. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Israel on account of this matter. And he sent a pestilence amongst them, and there died of the Israelites 24,000 men. And it correlates with Devarim, when it talks about the same thing, when you go and read about it, about the 24,000 men. Now there was a man of the children of Simeon, whose name was Zimri. And we know this story, but it's just telling you again in the extra-biblical text. The son of Salu, who connected himself with the Moabite Cosby, the daughter of Zer, king of Midian, in the sight of all the children of Israel. And Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon, the priest, saw this wicked thing which Zimri had done, and he took a spear and rose up and went after them and pierced them both and slew them, and the pestilence ceased from the children of Israel. Now think about this. I wrote myself a note so I could remember, just in case I didn't remember. There's a time that will come where Yeshua will not be riding on a donkey. He came in the first time, a humble servant, riding on a donkey. The next time he's coming on a horse. And he's coming to tread the wine press. He's coming to do what Pinchas did. He drove it and cut it out. He cut out all this wickedness, all this adultery, all the stuff that happened. There's going to be a time where game over. Checkmate. Done deal. I've had enough. Yehovah's going to say, I've had enough. Enough is enough. He had enough here. And he applauded Pinchas for what he did. He ended all the disease and pestilence and everything that was the plague that was going on that killed the 25,000 and more that was going to kill if he had not done that. And so he'll be on a war horse. His white garments will be red like pressed grapes. Wagons and food and death and destruction, garments. We talked about all this. I'll just put myself some notes. Garments is an image. Garments is an image. It's his likeness. It's what he's like. This is what we're learning from. And the more we learn and the more we obey him, it shows we love him and we look more like him. We reflect his image. And we put on those garments like his son did, like Yeshua did. And that's what Yeshua is teaching us, to put on those garments. We got to have those garments on. But if we have the garments off and we're across the line, we're the ones like Cosby and the other one got speared through. It will be the same thing for us when the fire comes and all the craziness and all the destruction comes. If you don't have your garments on, you're going to get destroyed. He says in the scriptures, I was reminded, 1,000 shall fall at your side. That wasn't just for Old Testament or back then. That's for us today. When those times will come and you're being prepared, 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, but only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. You have to keep your garments on. You have to stay with him. You stay in him. You got to stay in the house. Don't get outside the house. Stay in the house. And we've told that about Shabbat. Don't go to those places and do those certain things on a Shabbat. We told those things about the feast days, what they're all about. And here's Devarim chapter 7. So before taking on these nations, there were strict instructions that were given before going. We've been given strict instructions for us to keep before this happens. And as it's happening, little by little, the earth has been going through its birth pains, little by little. The Father doesn't throw it on us all at one time. He didn't throw this all on us at one time from all the things that were in paganism. It's been 7 years easing us through it. And so we're going to see in these instructions before going that these nations love and serve other mighty ones and other gods our Elohim warned them about that would ultimately separate from him. What was the most important thing that Yeshua didn't want to have happen to him? Was to be separated. Separated. I don't know where this come from, but I was just reminded when I was a kid, I had this little storybook I was read to all the time, and it was about Bear Rabbit. You ever hear, remember Bear Rabbit? He said, please don't throw me in the thorns. Please don't throw me in the thorns. That was his way of escape. Throw him in the thorns. Please don't throw me in the thorns. I was just thinking about that. But please don't separate me from my, please. I was just thinking about that. So let's go and look at it. Devarim, chapter 7, verses 1 through 26. And this is when you're spending your time with Yah, just sitting here reading and thinking about all the provision, all the getting you ready for the millennial to come, all the things that's going to go down, all the instructions He's given, His chesed, His loving kindness for us to show up. When Yehovah your Elohim brings you in the land which you go to possess, He shall also clear away many nations before you. The Hittites, the Gerashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yehovah your Elohim gives them over to you, you shall strike them and put them under the ban completely. Make no covenant with them. Show them no favor. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughter to his son. You do not take his daughter for your son. For he turns your sons away from following me. That was the whole point. Because he's going to separate you from me. I don't want you separated from me. He's a jealous El. He created us. We didn't create ourselves. And he created us to love him the same way he loves us. And that's what we're learning. We didn't know that. We didn't see that. And you won't see it until you spend that time being obedient. You love me if you obey what I say. Then you'll be able to see his loving kindness, how he really loves us that much. Then the displeasure, to serve the other mighty ones, then the displeasure of Yehovah shall burn against you and promptly destroy you. But that is what you do to them. Break down their slaughter places. Smash their pillars. Cut down their asherim. If it's that important to tear it down, then I think we better tear it out of our lives. Because it's not welcome in his presence. It's as dirty and filthy, it's stinky, it don't smell good. And that's one thing I pray to him a lot, even in the afternoons, to make sure. Even before I blow that shofar, I said, I don't want to blow this shofar in vain. I want to make sure I'm clean before you. I want to make sure I don't have anything. If I said or done anything this day, please forgive me. I don't want any of that stuff on me before you in your presence. Because no flesh can glory in your presence. And he even says it. He says, and smash the pillars, cut down the asherim, burn their carved images with fire, for you are set apart people to your Elohim. Yehovah your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for himself, a treasured possession above all peoples on the face of the earth. Yehovah did not set his love on you nor choose you because you are more numerous than other people. For you are the least of all the peoples and will be the least of all the peoples. You'll be a remnant. The least is not your numbers. And it wasn't because you're more or greater, but because of what? Yehovah loving you. It's about loving us. That's what it's all about. It's because I love you. It's because I love you and I don't want to lose you. And because of him guarding the oath, there's the oath again. The oath comes up. There's an agreement we have. You love me like this, and I'll love you like that. You hate me like this, I'll hate you like that. There's an agreement here. That's what Ruth had to abide by. That's what Rahab had to abide by. There's an oath. If you break the oath, bye-bye, you back over there again. So you can't break it. And if you do break it, you have an advocate with the Father. We have Yeshua. He paid the price for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Night and day, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. We got to get rest. We get tired. We're not immortal. We're in a weak state. But his Ruach will uphold us when we need strength. His loving kindness will uphold us. When we think we can't make it, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Because you see his loving kindness, how much he loves us. And that's why, even those when we read about in the renewed writings, they dueled it out to the end and died for it because they found out and had an understanding of what is chesed, is loving kindness, is really like. You got to spend that time. You got to be obedient to it. It's not just notes to put on the side and go learn something new. You have to take this stuff all week that you get from the brothers, that you get from our pastor, and that you get from a sister or a brother, that you're going through books. The sisters have been reading books. They've been spending time. Sister Justine was talking about the book. She wanted to finish that last little. She'll get the finish. She might have got the finish. I don't know. But everybody's spending that time. When you're spending that time, you're getting to learn what His loving kindness is. He's a very loving God, and there's nothing that loves like He does. And you shall know, it says, brought you out a strong hand and ransomed you from a house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, sovereign of Mishraim. And you shall know that Yehovah Elohim, He is Elohim, the trustworthy El, guarding covenant and loving commitment for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and those who guard His commands, but repaying those who hate Him to their face to destroy them. So there's two sides here. There's a life-giving side, and there's a very death-giving side, destructive side, a die-die side. He does not delay. Where's that word come from again? Might want to go look at that one. I looked at that one a little bit, but I didn't have time to really dig into it because I had other things I had. Look, there was things I was trying to dig on under the vine and under the fig tree. I went and found that Isaiah scripture, and I wanted to dig into it, and I was like, I got pulled away from it because it wasn't time. It's just not time. You know, you want to, just because you want to do something doesn't mean it's His time. And so I stayed with especially Bella. I was inspired by Bella when she came out with the food and the wagons and posted that on Facebook. I was like, what? If I'm not careful, she's going to take my place. I said, boy, look at Bella go. I mean, she's really understanding the provision and what these wagons really mean to help somebody from death. You might not know how far those little bitty words might go, but they can go a long ways. One little seed can go a long ways. He is a trustworthy El, guarding covenant loving for 1,000 generations, those who love Him and those who guard His commands, but repaying those who hate Him to their face to destroy them. And He does not delay to do so with him who hates Him. And He didn't delay when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained that stuff on there. He said, hurry, hurry, hurry. I can't wait any longer. You got to make your decision now. We got to go. And they grabbed Him by the hand and pulled Him. And you shall guard the command and the laws and right rulings I command you today to do them. And it shall be because you hear these right rulings and shall guard to do them that Yehovah Elohim shall shemar, guard with you the covenant and the loving commitment which He swore to your fathers, and shall love you and bless you and increase you, and shall bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land and your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock and the land of which He swore to your fathers to give you. And if you don't feel like you're getting any of that yet, you keep trying to obey Him and see if He won't. You keep obeying Him and see if He won't. You'll fall right into it and you'll see His loving kindness. But keep being disobedient. You'll be keeping pressure. I don't know why it's not happening to me. I don't know why I got to go through this again. Just stay right there. That's where it'll always be. You got to keep pressing forward and believing, no, that's what He's going to do. Despite what you see, what you think, or what you reason. Even tonight before I come in, I told Brother Rob, I was like, man, I don't know what's going on, but I got a million things coming at my mind right now. So I stopped for a minute and I prayed. I'm like, I know what it is, Brother Rob. It's my thoughts. You can't let your thoughts get in the way. You can't think. You got to let the Father speak with you and let Him lead you and guide you and direct you. And that's how it happens. You can't go by your thinking. There's not going to be a barren man or a barren woman among you or among your livestock. And your vice shall turn away from you all the sickness and put on you none of the evil disease of Mishraim, which you have known. But he shall put them on all those who hate you. And you shall consume all the peoples whom Yehovah Elohim is delivering over to you. Your eyes shall not pardon them. And it's pretty long to finish going through it, but I got my point across about before they went, what was going to happen. So we talked about the Moabite wives and the daughters and the Moabites, and Hasatan will twist the truth and whisper lies to separate. Now Luke chapter 22. And this is for us today. When I talk about Hasatan, when I talk about the Nahash, I don't care how good you get, how much you know, how many years you've been serving, he's no joke. He'll wait for the perfect opportunity for you to slip. He said even the very elect could be deceived. So don't take him, and don't say I pray against or speak against the devil. Even Michael the angel, many of them, they said they would not hold an accusation against Hasatan. They say, Yehovah rebuke you. Go ahead and say, oh, devil this and devil that. You go ahead and say that. You watch how fast your head will spin and you have something coming on you. That's not for us to judge or say. He warns us. That's for Yehovah to judge. And that's for Yehovah rebuke you. Not me. I don't have the power to do that, but he does. And so it says in Luke 22, verse 31, and the master said, Shimon, Shimon, see, Hasatan, Satan, has asked for you to sift you as wheat. Each and every one of us here, you don't think Hasatan hasn't asked to sift us like wheat? We got to be careful and keep our garments on. We got to be prayed up. We got to be very careful. But I have prayed for you that your belief should not fail. And when you have turned, strengthen who? Strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. We have brothers in the house that wasn't in the house for a little while. We strengthen our brothers. That's what we do. Just because we've been here for a while and somebody hadn't been here for a while, I'm no different than you. We're all learning. We're all at different levels. And he said to him, Master, I am prepared to go with you, both to prison and to death. And he said, I say to you, Kepha, the cock shall not crow at all today until you have denied three times that you know me. And so he had to go through some things, and we learn that. And then we get into renewed writings. He's got a lot of writings there that's helped us where he went from there. He learned and he grew. And if we think about the story of Job, Job had everything torn from him. He had everything stripped from him. But the one thing that I find Job stayed steadfast in was to do anything, but don't separate me from Yah. He didn't count any accusation against Yehovah. He said, Yehovah gives and he takes away. I count nothing against him. That's what he said. I count nothing against him. There's many times that we go through some things. We might feel like quitting. We don't know which way to turn. Or we might have made some bad, bad mistakes. But we repent and turn back because we don't want to lose him. He's vital to us. Without him, we're done. We're nothing but dust without him. So just as all these went through these things, the wilderness is for us to find out what's in our heart. That's what it's all about, to find out what's in our heart, whether we're going to love him or not. That's what it's all about. And it's going to find out what you love the most. You can't even love the husband or the wife more than him. He's got to be above the husband. Because I found in my life, you know, I put my wife on a pedestal. I love her so much. But then it had to come to that point to where she's important, but he's more important. Because if you put something above him, it's going to rip you apart. It'll be the most tragic thing that ever happened to you. I've seen that happen to many people's lives, that not long after the other partner, the husband or wife, died because they put everything on the husband or wife rather than the father. He's got to be everything. The husband and the wife isn't the creator. He's the creator. He's the one that's got to be relied on. So he's in the middle, he's relied on, then the husband and the wife come together. And so our jealous El, this God that we serve, he's questioning us, are you for me or are you against me? Are you with me or not? That's what he's constantly asking. Are you with me or not? You got to trust me in this. In Isaiah 42:8, he's not going to take second to none. He's not going to take second at all, ever. Ever. He's never going to take second. He takes first tops. He doesn't take below the husband. He doesn't take below the wife. He doesn't take below the children. He doesn't take below anything on this earth. The heavens, the earth, the animals, the ocean, the sun, the moon, the stars. He said that from the beginning. He says, I am Yehovah, that is my name, and my esteem I do not give to another, nor my praise to idols. And there's a main verse in here I want to read. Or you could, I'll just read the verse. I have a lot to read, but time goes by so fast. But Isaiah 4:11. For my own sake, for my own sake I do it. For how is it profaned? And my esteem I do not give to another. This is one of the chapters I was reading that it starts off with Yaakov. I don't know how much time I got left. Okay, so I got time to read it. The main verse was chapter 48 was verse 11. But getting to that verse, I went back up and I read this because, again, we like Yaakov. We're learning and growing. We're coming out to be Israel. We're not Israel yet, but we're learning and growing to get there. It says, and start with verse 1. Hear this, O house of Yaakov, who are called by my name of Yisrael, and have come from the waters of Yehuda, who swear by the name of Yehovah, and profess the Elohim of Israel, though not in truth or in righteousness. For they call themselves after the set-apart city, and lean on the Elohim of Israel. Yehovah of hosts is his name. I have declared the former events from the beginning, and they went forth from my mouth, and I made you hear them. Suddenly I acted, and they came to be. Because I knew that you were hard, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your forehead was like bronze. Therefore I declared it to you long ago. Before it came, I made you hear. Lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my carved image and my molded image commanded them. He let them know, I let you know beforehand. You have heard, look at them all. And do you not declare it? From now on I shall make you hear new ones, even hidden ones, which you have not known. Now they shall be created, and not long ago. And before this day you have not heard them, lest you should say, look, I knew them. There's many things that we didn't know, that we now know, that he's revealed to us and let us know. And he's telling that to them right here. No, you have not heard. No, you have not known. No, from old your ear has not been opened, because I knew that you are indeed treacherous and are called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake, here's a verse. For my name's sake, I postpone my displeasure. And for my praise, I held it back from you so as not to cut you off. There he is, stretching himself again. So I have refined you, but not as silver. I have chosen you in a furnace of affliction. For my own name's sake, for my own sake, I do it. He's just expressing how loving and kind and how generous he is of stretching himself. Listen to me, O Yaakov and Israel. My called, I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Also, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. I call to them, let them stand together. All of you gather yourselves and hear. Who among them has declared these? Jehovah has loved him. Let him do his pleasure on Babel, and his arm be on Kasdim. I have spoken. I have also called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there. And now the Master Jehovah has sent me and his Spirit. Thus says Jehovah your Redeemer, the set apart one of Israel, I am Jehovah your Elohim, teaching you what is best, leading you by the way you should go. If only you had listened to my commands, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And your seed would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your inward parts like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Come out of Babel, flee from the Kasdim. Declare this with a voice of singing. Proclaim it. Send it out to the end of the earth. Say, Jehovah has redeemed his servant Jacob. And they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He caused waters from a rock to flow for them. He split the rock and waters gushed out. There is no peace for the wrong, says Jehovah. And we have wagons full of information. This is our time to allow him to use us and to go forward and do this and to help. This is our part. This is our journey. Each and every one of us has a journey that he's got us on. As a body, we go out like the bees, and we're going to bring the honey to the nations. And there was other chapters, chapter 45 of Isaiah, of there is none else but him. And he declares himself from the beginning. And there's scriptures and scriptures that you can read and all that. And the last one I'm going to read, this is the most important one. We've all read this one over and over. Hayeh, Hayah, Hasher, Hayeh, Hasher, Hayeh, Hayeh. Hayah, it's Hayah, I'm sorry. Hayah, Hasher, Hayeh, it's Exodus 3:14. And Elohim said to Moshe, Hayah, Hasher, Hayah, I am that which I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And I'm going to end it right there. I still had Rahab to talk about and detail in there to talk about, but I just, this is good enough. So that's been my experience during the week, and that's all I can share is what I've been through. I'm not going to read something and tell you to do something I've never done. So I just was able to gather in the information, stay within the text of chapter 45, even going to 46. I wanted to talk a little bit about 46, but that's probably coming up. So thank you, Father, for this week. I thank you, Father, for everything you've done with each and every one of us this week. I pray for those that are on the outside that they would get a wooing from you, however that may be, Father, to come back into your house, to be covered in the garments that you provided, all the shelter, all the love, all the food, all everything that you have provided for each and every one of them and us. And we just pray that we're at the right place at the right time for any one of them, or maybe somebody else to share with them to water the seeds that we might have sown in their lives. We love you and thank you, Father, for this good night's rest. But even though we'll be sleeping in our flesh, we know our spirit will be meditating with your spirit on all these words we've heard tonight until in the morning. In the name of Yeshua, amen.